News and information about living with sight loss. From InfoSound.
A revised lighting guide has been developed by sight loss charity Thomas Pocklington Trust to help vision impaired people to improve the lighting in their homes. This is because they say that getting lighting right in the home can help to increase someone's independence, their comfort, and of course their safety. Thomas Pocklington Trust's research into lighting in the homes of vision impaired people has found common problems, including low levels of lighting, uneven lighting, shadows and dark areas, and a lack of information on potential improvements. So this guide addresses these common problems and more. The guide called Lighting in and Around the Home, a guide to better lighting for people with sight loss, which has been endorsed by the Institution of Lighting Professionals, is an updated version of a similar guide that Thomas Pocklington Trust produced in 2015, which was directed mainly at professionals responsible for carrying out lighting assessments. But as we heard when we spoke to Peter Hodgson from Thomas Pocklington Trust, this new version aims to have a broader appeal.
This new edition of the guide is aimed at the original audience, which was professionals, rovies, occupational therapists. But we've also, because of the sort of reduction in, I suppose, professional advice and support that's been available over the last few years, we've tried to make it more of a self-help guide so that either someone who has sight loss or the friends or family of someone with sight loss can pick the guide up and use its contents, the checklists, etc., to be able to help improve the lighting for the person who has the problems with the sight.
And you're dealing with all aspects of what, the home environment?
Yes, mostly home environment. We've included in this guide a little bit more on daylighting, a bit on external lighting, and also assistive technology, but it is all around the home. So we're looking at what you can do in particular rooms within the home to try to improve lighting and make it more safe and easy for people to live independently.
And you've already indicated that this is a way that a blind or partially sighted person can sort of take control of the lighting within their own home in terms of choosing what's good, maybe getting someone in to change the lighting that they've got or seek further advice. Was that the main reason for the change, or has technology changed?
Technology has advanced since we first wrote this guide. There's been a big move towards obviously low energy lighting, and significant in the last couple of years move towards LEDs, light emitting diodes, as a light source. And that has really sort of impacted dramatically on what is both available in terms of what you can go into a shop and buy for a lamp or a bulb, and also sort of the design of lighting itself.
You talked about going into a shop. So is this based on high street purchases, places where you might pick up a lamp, you know, in the supermarket, wherever it might be? Or is it more going to the specialist, the resource centre, where they might well stock lamps, lights for blind and partially sighted people?
We've tried to cover both, really. The guide is sort of aimed very much at trying to be able to allow people to go into a local shop and buy what they might need. The issue with that might be that the shop doesn't necessarily stock what they might need, ideally. But, you know, in terms of what supermarkets, DIY stores are now stocking, they've got a lot of LED lights. But the problem is, if you're not choosing the right ones, picking the right sort of thing up, you may find it's a very low output of light. You're not getting much light from it. Or it may not work with existing dimmer switches and things. So we've tried to cover within the guide the pitfalls or potential pitfalls of some of the lighting, and try to give you some advice about what you should be looking for in terms of replacing lights or putting new lights in.
It sounds like you are arming people with the knowledge so they can go and find what they need, giving them greater knowledge of what's out there, maybe.
That's right, yes. It's a guide that people can use before they go out and start looking for lamps and lighting, so they have an idea of what they're looking for, what's going to be good, what the problems and pitfalls might be if they do choose the wrong equipment or light for their home. And hopefully if they, you know, if they can read the guide before they go, or they've got friends and family that can read it, they can be steering themselves towards the right solutions for what they might need.
I guess anyone's home, it's a kind of complex space, isn't it? Because each room, however small, however large, has a different purpose, perhaps. Are the key areas that you've highlighted in anyone's home, be it a flat or a two-storey building, where really you've got to get the lighting exactly right? Are the kind of hot spots, if you like?
Yes and no. The guide is sort of giving you a general sort of background to all lighting, which for someone with sight losses, ideally have a very high level of light everywhere. Fairly even light, so you're not walking from a dark space into a light space or vice versa, because some people's eyes can take a while to adapt. But within that, we've also concentrated on some of the key risk areas, I suppose. So kitchens, stairs are perhaps two of the areas which are potentially dangerous. If you get it wrong, you could be either falling up and down stairs, or perhaps, you know, cutting yourself if you haven't got sufficient light to see the detailed task you might want to do in the kitchen.
And finally, cost. It's a factor for everyone. And clearly, there's a lot of good technology out there that's made lighting more efficient and better, and more attractive and everything else. It can do more now than it used to be able to do. But is cost a factor? And can one make significant improvement to one's home if you have any degree of sight loss, you know, without breaking the bank?
You can, yes. Several things. We suggest you have more than one light source in a room, for instance, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have to get an electrician to come in and fit a new ceiling light. You can buy floor standing lights that will shine an uplight onto the ceiling and sort of reflect light around the room in that way. You can buy individual task lights, angle poisers, etc., if you want to light a particular area. So none of these are particularly expensive. Similarly, the move towards the LED lighting has a big advantage in that they are very efficient. They're very low wattages, so you get a lot of output for a low wattage. They're also very long-lasting. LEDs might last 15 to 20 years, so you might be paying a little bit more for the bulb initially, but it's clearly very cheap to run, and it will last a long time. So cost shouldn't be a major influence. You can very effectively and efficiently and cheaply improve lighting in your home without having to sort of go mad in terms of having electricians in to rewire things. There may be some things you might want to get additional lights put in areas you haven't got lighting at the moment, which would require an electrician, but there are, in many areas, solutions which are very cost-effective and simple to implement.
And if you'd like to request a hard copy or an accessible copy of Thomas Pocklington Trust's Lighting in and Around the Home, a guide to better lighting for people with sight loss publication, you can email research@pocklington-trust, spelt pocklington-trust.org.uk, or you can phone 020-896-1937. That's 020-896-1937. And you can find an electronic copy as a downloadable PDF or Word document on the charity's website at www.pocklington-trust.org.uk.